Amen. Please let's rise to our feet. We're going to pray. Friends, there's something that I have seen that is almost pervasive now. Maybe I should read a scripture to you. How many of us know about the prophet Elijah? You've heard about prophet Elijah. Prophet Elijah confronted the worst evil of his time, the prophets of Baal. And he put all of them to shame and commanded for all of them to be killed. And it was exactly as he said. But listen to this. This great man of God, in 1 Kings chapter 19, from verse 4, the Bible reads, it says, but he himself, he left his servants behind, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might what? Please read it. That he might what? Please say it loud. That he might what? He said that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Listen. Before he got to this point, he was already feeling like that. But his servants, if you had asked his servants about this statement, they would say, no, the great prophet, no, prophet is bad. Prophet is good. He was making faces for his servants. Like many of us, when we come to church, we make faces to look good. But when it's dark at night in the bedroom alone, it's a different story. It's a different story. But I have good news for somebody here this morning. The Lord gave me a word for somebody. There is deliverance coming your way. Amen. I said there is deliverance coming your way. Amen. Listen to this. One of the other things that I have observed is that the enemy is planting thoughts in people's minds. Can I tell you something? Has it ever happened to you that you were so fearful of something, and when it was all over, you were asking yourself, what was all the hula bula about? Why was I like that? What was that all about? You know why? When the enemy begins to plant thoughts in our minds, it paints pictures and creates images, and our hearts are gripped with fear. I bind and I cast out every spirit of fear this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, it says, casting down every imagination. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I cast down every imagination and every high thing that is exalting itself above the knowledge of God in your life, in the mighty name of Jesus. The great prophet Elijah got to a point and said, kill me. Let me die. This life is not worth living anymore. I'm not going to commit suicide because I know suicide will lead straight to hell. You know, but God, you yourself, just kill me. Just take my life. Just take my life. I want you to know this morning, there is deliverance. Amen. There is hope. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to lift up your right hand to heaven. Every heaviness, every foul spirit, I cast out now in the mighty name of Jesus. Why don't you pray for yourself this morning and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, every spirit of heaviness, every spirit contrary to your spirit in my life, I cast out now, in the name of Jesus. Arise, O God, and let every enemy be scattered in the mighty name of Jesus.
every foul spirit, every spirit of depression, every spirit of heaviness, I come against you in the name of Jesus. I forbid you in the lives of the people of God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Le katalia bakonderia, ye pradia bagozondara, ye karadagadagada, ye karodoboshanda, ye karadaboshanta, in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. The blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Makoradabashantalia. Eh karo jagada bano redebo. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jehovah. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. Technica, can you please help me with this mic? It's causing me to strain a lot. Listen to me. There are some people here, I don't know who you are. At least one person here this morning. You are concerned about immigration papers. It seemed like it was working out, but somehow things are stuck in the middle somewhere. I prophesy and I send forth the word of the Lord to where your papers are stuck right now. And I declare a release. I declare a release. I declare a release. In the name of Jesus, I declare a release. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. For you, some of you, it is not immigration paper. As a pastor, that has never been a problem. I hear you. Whatever it is that is stuck in the middle, that you have labored, you have prayed, you have worked on it. In fact, you have started sharing testimony little by little already. But it is stuck in the middle now. I speak a release. I speak a release. I speak a release. I speak a release in the mighty name of Jesus. A release. A release. A release in the mighty name of Jesus. A release. A release in the name of Jesus. Kandorobo Shantali Aragada. I know for a fact, because they have spoken to me, there are some people here that are seeking some level of academic excellence, want to move to the next thing, but it has been an uphill task. I stand today and I declare the word of the Lord as the servant of the Most High God. I say, ease come into your situation. Peace come into your situation. In every area of life, whether marriage, maybe your marriage is suffering, or you are at a point you ought to be married, but you are not married yet. I say you will be discovered. You will be discovered. Men will seek you. Women will seek you. You will be found in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as you have impressed upon my heart, I have declared your word this morning. Jehovah, let it be so. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for a garment of praise, a fresh oil of joy, a fresh anointing upon your head. In the mighty name of Jesus, a release. Every blessing locked up, jammed up, I declare a release right now. A release in the name of Jesus. So shall it be in the mighty name of Jesus. Why don't you declare, what is mine is mine. What the Lord has given to me is mine. I claim it. I receive it by faith. 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 I receive. I receive. I receive. It is mine. I receive it in the name of Jesus. It is mine. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' matchless name, I have prayed. Father, we thank you. Lord, I release your church
into destiny now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pull down every stronghold in the name of Jesus. I bring to an end the work of the opposition in the church of God, in the name of Jesus, in the lives of the people, in the name of Jesus. Go forward today and enter into your place in the name of Jesus. Father, as we look into your word of life today, Jehovah, speak to us. Lord, your word says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh, and he walked amongst us. Lord Jesus, may we see you today. As your word goes forth, may we see Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Amen. Please open your Bibles. Please don't sit down yet. Let's read the text for today, and then you can take your seat afterwards. Thank you very much. John chapter 13, we're going to read from verse 1. John chapter 13 from verse 1. John 13 from verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth up from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and guarded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was guarded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Okay, my computer is acting up. Okay. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Verse 8, Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. You know what that is saying is, if you are washed, the only thing that needs to be cleaned is your feet. But is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. If the Bible you are holding is yours, please underline that. It says, ye are clean, but not all of you. Verse 11, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We just take a break. Write that point. You may please be seated. This morning, we're continuing the sermon series that we started a while back, but this phase of it we started talking about last week, and I did a general introduction last week. Today, we're continuing and we're talking about God's promises to you. God's promises to you. Friends, when you read the length and the breadth of scriptures, You see, many promises that God has made unto his children. And I told us last week that John chapter 13 to John chapter 17, it means 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, it reveals a private discussion that Jesus had with his disciples. Because he knew his time was up, he knew it was time for him to go back to his father where he had come, from where he had come, he therefore began to prepare his disciples for life after he's gone. And he began to speak specific, unique, interesting things to them. Jesus gave assurances unto them and he made promises unto them. Friends, can I tell you something this morning? A promise is only as reliable as the one that makes the promise. If you have an unreliable person making promises to you and you believe them, you have opened your life to a life of hurt and disappointment. Because a promise is only as good as the one that has made the promise. The Bible tells us about the person that is making a promise here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews 10, verse 23. It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." That should bring a smile to anybody's face. We're talking about God's promises to you as a person, and the scripture is telling you and I that faithful is the one that is made promise unto us. When you look at the verse of scripture that I just read, Hebrews 10, 23, there are two parts to it. One part is talking about the one that is being promised. And the other part is talking about the one that is making the promise. The first part says, it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." That is saying to you and I, as the one to whom the promise has been made, to stay focused. Look at your neighbor, say, "Stay focused." Look at them again, say, "Stay focused." Don't allow challenges and the storms and the problems of life to define who you are. Amen? Don't allow storms to define who you are. Do you know when people get in difficult situations, they begin to make sorry decisions? They begin to make decisions that if you'll be ashamed. You'll be like, "I can't imagine you did that. How could you have done that?" Amen? Do not allow problems and challenges in life to define who you are, because they don't define you. They only make you better. Listen to me. Gold, you go from 10 carat. Is there anything lower than 10 carat? I know 10. There's 9. I think it's 10. Women, help us. GL. You have, Pastor Gloria doesn't know about all those kind of things. So when you talk of 24 and up, is there anything higher than 24? 24. That's what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. So the value of gold is determined by how much heat he's been through. The more heat it goes through, the less the impurity you will have in the gold. And that is what determines whether it's 10 carat, 14, 18, or 24. The 24 carat has been through real fire and pressure. And that is why it comes out sparkling and comes out shining. I'm prophesying to somebody here today that you will come out on the other side shining like gold. I say shining like gold. In the mighty name of Jesus. Maintain your profession. Don't begin to confess what you see. Amen? It says we are not moved by sight. It says the just shall live. By what? By their faith. It says hold on to your profession of faith. Hold on to it. Because God is on your case. And God is on my case. Why? Because of the character of the promise giver. That scripture, Hebrews 10, 23, tells us that the one that has promised is faithful. It says, faithful is he that has promised. The Lord will deliver for you. I said the Lord will deliver his promises to you. is the promise giver, and he is also the promise keeper. And he will keep his promises to you. Numbers 23 verse 19. Numbers 23 verse 19 says, God is not man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? It's a question. He said, will God say something and not do it? Amen. Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You see, many of us, because how many people have been disappointed here? I'm raising my hand because I've been disappointed. I'm not raising it so you can raise it. If you have been disappointed before, there is a tendency for you to become suspicious of everybody else. Amen? When somebody disappoints you, and then somebody else comes, the moment they say they are from Benin. The moment they say they are from where the other guy is from, red flag, red flag, red flag, red flag, red flag. And many of us come to God with suspicions because we have been disappointed. They have told us that God is our Father. Jesus told us that from Scripture. We know that God is our Father. Many people have been disappointed by their fathers. So when they say God is a father, red flag. The fathers disappoint. Father, pain. But God will not give you pain. God will give you joy. God will keep his word in your life. He said, has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Every precious promises of God to you, it will bring to pass. My question this morning is, what is a promise? We're talking about God's promises to you. What is a promise? A promise is simple. A promise is a declaration that something will or will not be done or given. You know, every time we think of promise, we think of something that is done. But it can be that if you don't come on time, I promise you, you are not going to get any candy. It's a promise that if you don't come on time, you're not going to get something. So a promise is a declaration to do something or to give something. A promise is an assurance. Jesus from John chapter 13 all the way to 17 was giving assurances to his disciples. And why are we reviewing this? Because that dispensation still continues up until now. Okay, the assurances he was giving them was because he knew he was going back to heaven and he would not be physically present with them, and therefore he was giving them assurances. The same assurances he gave to them, he's giving to you and I. And that's what we're studying over the course of time. There are two types of promises. There's the unconditional promise. This is a commitment that is made without any expectation. For example, God said to Abraham, he said, Abraham, come on, get up and come with me. I'm going to take you to a place. I'll take you to a land that I will show you. And when we get there, I'm going to bless you. I will make you a great nation. That was a blessing without condition. God did not say, if you do this, I will do that. No. He just said, come. So as we review, we will see some unconditional blessings and we'll see some conditional blessings. Number two, very quickly, we have conditional blessings. This is a promise that has strings attached to it. A promise with string attached. It means this is subject to you meeting certain criteria. For example, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, Exodus chapter 20, and the 12th verse, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. He's saying, I promise you long life if you will honor your father and mother. The easiest way to cut a man's life short is to dishonor their father and their mother. It's a reminder for some of us today. I know life is good in America, and we're enjoying all the benefits of Uncle Sam. If we have parents at home, give them a call today sometime. Say, Mom, Dad, just want to say hello. honor your father and mother. He said that your life will belong is not automatic, it's predicated on you honoring your father and mother. Are you a child here today? Well, you know, child can be relative. What I mean by child is your parent is here, you are here. If your parents are here and you are here, and you are dishonoring your parents, the scripture is not on your side. Amen? Honor your father and mother that your life may be long. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, Romans 10 and verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said, I'm promising you salvation, but there's something you have to do. You have to meet the conditions. You must confess with your mouth and you must believe with your heart. If you don't do these two things, there's no salvation. Salvation is easy. Salvation is free. Salvation is just as simple as that. But there are conditions. There are people that because they have been going to church a long time and they know all the phraseologies, they know all the Christian lingo, they know all of those things. But they have not at any time deliberately, willfully, consciously confessed with their mouth the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ and deliberately and consciously believe with their heart. They have just been going with the cliches. Then your salvation has a big question mark on it. There has to be a memorable, recordable time that you actually said, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. So let's now go back to our text. I did that as an introduction to help us as we begin to dig in further and further. In our text today, the Bible says that because Jesus knew his time was up, he loved his own to the very end. And the verse 2, it says, and supper, John 13 verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given him all things and that he was come from God and went to God. Let's stop right there. There is a lesson Jesus is demonstrating to the disciples here. He's not teaching them as an instruction, but he's demonstrating to them. A number of things happened here, but we're just going to focus on a particular segment of it so that we can manage time properly. The Bible says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things, somebody say all things. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and he was going back to God, he began to do something very strange. I need a volunteer, quickly. I'm not going to make you say anything. You're just going to stand by me. Please come on the podium. Next verse, please. It said, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Here's what he did. And I'm glad. Okay. I'm not sure if I'm really glad now. I was going to say, I'm glad it's a lady that came. You know, because some people, if they take off their, you know, my children in the car, they'll be like, Daddy, please tell so-and-so to put her shoes back on. I'm like, why? It stinks, Dad. But here's what Jesus did. The Bible says, immediately after supper, he took off his garment. Trust me, I've been wanting to do this. And in our day, took off his tie. I'm not undressing, it's just illustration. I needed to take that tie off. Did you notice? Stay here. Thank you. Yes, please. Let's put our hands together. It's good to have a wife. A good wife. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. The Bible says he washed the feet of the disciples. Let me illustrate this for you. Maybe it will help you understand it. Remember, fortunately for me, Chinese today came to church in her Mitsubishi Endeavor. Yeah? Is that what it's called? Mitsubishi Endeavor. Back in those days, there were no tires on the road. Israel was a desert. It was all dusty. That was why one of the customs when you come to a person's house is they give you water to wash your stinking, filthy feet before you enter their house. Jesus washes their feet. The lesson here is a lesson of humility. Have you noticed how it's impossible for me to wash her feet standing? For Jesus to wash her feet, to wash their feet, he must have gone, like we say in the military, take a knee. He put the towel around himself. He took the water, and he began to wash their caked up feet. He began to wash their caked up feet. He began to wash their caked up feet. Friends, what I'm saying to you this morning is Jesus had to teach them a lesson of humility before he made any promises to them. Before he gave them any assurance for anything, the first thing he did was he modeled humility for them. The Bible says he rose up after supper. He lays aside his garment, and then he began to wash their feet. And when he got to Peter, Peter said, "No, Master, you cannot wash my feet." But before he did that, he told them, he said, "You call me Master and Lord, and yes, you are correct because that is who I am to you." Can I tell you something this morning? Your service, your humility is not stupidity. We have men standing at the door, grown men, married people with children, they are heads of the household. They are standing and they are serving us. They are tending to us. They are standing there and serving does not make them lesser than the rest of us that is being served. I, as the pastor preaching, I am serving you right now. The fact that I am serving you does not make me less than you. He was teaching them a lesson in humility. He was telling them, if you are going to go far, if you are going to make it after I am gone, the number one thing is you must be humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself. He said, I'm going to tell you some great, fabulous, fantastic things, but the first thing I must model for you is how to honor one another. How to humble yourself before one another. How to put the other person ahead of yourself. I can almost guarantee you that if they needed their feet to be washed, Jesus needed his feet to be washed too. But he put them first. He bowed and he began to wash their feet. Thank you very much, Chinese. Let's put our hands together for her. He began to wash their feet. He began to wash their feet one after the other. Let me talk about Peter real quick, because I'm not sure if I'll get as far as Peter before we round up today. Listen to this. A lot of times, we call it humility, but it's pride. To need help and refuse help is pride. Jesus got to him and was going to, he's washed the feet of the first guy, the second, the third. He said, "Master, you wash my feet." "For God forbid it." He said, "You yourself, you forbid you to wash my feet," because Jesus is God. When he says God forbid, he's saying Jesus is forbidding himself from washing his feet. Amen. But the reason sometimes we refuse help, even though we need help, is pride. need one another. I need you, you need me. And that was the lesson Jesus was teaching them. It is easier if I take a knee and wash your feet, and after I'm done washing your feet, you take a knee and wash my feet. It is easier. It will be cleaner. It will be better. It will be fresher. And we will be able to bond in doing that for one another. Listen to me. Some people got it in Scripture. In John chapter 12, the Bible tells us about Mary, the sister of Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. The one that they were trying to destroy his evidence. The Bible says, listen to this, in verse 3 of John chapter 12, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed his feet. And she wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of ointment. This is different from the account that you are familiar with about the alabaster box. Anybody ever heard of alabaster box before? Yeah. In Luke 7, you see that. In Mark 14, you see that. Listen to me. There is a treasure inside of you. Esther, there's a treasure inside of you. There's a treasure inside of you. Perpetua. There's a treasure inside of you. My brother Jide, there's a treasure inside of you. The alabaster box is not what is valuable. It is what is inside the alabaster box that is of value. It is what is inside. Until the alabaster box is broken, its value is not realized. There are many alabaster boxes here this morning, listening to me, that needs to be broken. Because there is a treasure. There is a treasure. There is a treasure. You know, I've searched and searched and searched and searched for this video clip. I just can't find it anymore. I used it for an illustration many years ago. In the early days in Texas, when they were exploring for oil, you know, they did it in a crude way, you know. By the time they hit this oil well, the thing was shooting so very high, the pressure that was under, that treasure was begging to come out, but that treasure was trapped within, that treasure was trapped in the earth. The moment a way of escape was made for it, it shot out and everybody noticed it. So much so, the video recorded it and I saw it many years later. Are you listening to me? What I'm saying to you is, if you will allow this alabaster box called you, amen? If you will allow this alabaster box that is you, if you will allow it to be broken by the Lord. The Bible says in John chapter 12 that we just read, it said, and the aroma filled the house. The aroma did what? It filled the house. The lesson of brokenness is a lesson of humility. When I humble myself under the mighty hand of God and I allow the Almighty God to break me, when I am broken, then the treasures within me will begin to flow out. Will begin to flow out. We begin to flow out. And guess what? My aroma, my influence will fill the whole room. It will fill the whole church. It will fill the whole city. Have you ever, it's happened to me before. I did a lot of little bad things when I was a child. You know, my brother, he's been here before. You know, my brother was GQ growing up, man. He was GQ. So anytime I wanted to go out, I would sneak to his room to go. You know, I like the smell good, but I couldn't afford the smell good. You know? So he will come, he will say, who entered my house? I say, nobody. No. Why? He can smell it. He can smell it. When this alabaster box is broken, you cannot hide. people will be seeking you. They want what you have because they have been seeking it all over the place, but they have not found it. But when the aroma, when it begins to fill the whole earth, when it begins to fill the city, men will begin to seek after you. Women will begin to seek after you. Your life will become a delight. Your life will become a joy. Your life will become a joy. Your life will become a joy. And listen to this. In Luke chapter 7, when you get home, read it completely by yourself. The Bible says Jesus went to the house of a man called Simon. He went to have dinner with this man because this man invited him over for dinner. Listen close to this. I'm going to close in a couple of minutes. In a few minutes, I will close. Jesus was invited to this man's house. And when he got there, he sat at table and all of these things. Life is good. Everybody wanted to see Jesus, the Messiah that they are talking about. People are whispering. People are looking. People are doing all kinds of things. And then this one woman walks in. And she went to the feet of Jesus. And she begins to cry. She begins to weep. The tears on her face was rolling on his feet. And as the tears were rolling down and falling on his feet, she took her hair. She began to rub the hair on the feet of Jesus. She was using her tears as water and her hair as a sponge to wash the feet of Jesus. And the man, the Simon the host began to think in his heart, if this man was a true prophet, he will know that this is a sinner that is touching him. And Jesus, being God, being Lord, knowing all things, Jesus told him a parable. He said, two men owed money. One owed 500 pence. The other owed 50 pence. And both of them didn't have money to pay. And their creditor decided to forgive them their debt. He said, who is most grateful? Who will be most grateful? Oh, he said, the one that owed more. He said, okay, you go figure. Go read the text. Jesus did not say anything to him. You know why? Because that was the story of Simon himself. If you read the text in Luke, the Bible says Simon the leper. Because Simon himself was a leper. Today is not the day to talk about leprosy. But listen to me. Leprosy was the kind of disease that put a stigma on people. In fact, when a leper is standing by his own in a little corner, not disturbing anybody, and somebody was walking towards him, he must announce his condition. Unclean! 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 Leprosy was that bad. God healed Simon of leprosy. But Simon could not share the same grace with this lady. Simon could not share the same mercy with this woman. He judged her. He judged her very hard. He said, if this man would have known that this woman is a sinner, if he was a prophet, he should have known that the same grace that saved you, the same mercy that delivered you, but he was not ready to share it. The question this morning is, in all of the goodness of God in your life, has it made you hard? Has it made you judgmental? Has it made you critical and look at people and say, what is wrong with all these people? Why can't they just serve God? Why can't they just give? Why can't they just this? Why can't they just that? You have forgotten that you were a worse sinner. You have forgotten that your state was worse than their state now. I want us to rise to our feet. There is a treasure in you. There is a treasure in you. There is a treasure in me. But listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to this. Listen to this. Have you had a putrefying, something spoiling in the house? Listen. Look at me, please. Look at me. Let me get on the stage. Look at me. Have you had in the house, there's something you put away, you forgot, you left it there, maybe food or meat or something. You forgot. And then you just stumbled on it, and then you opened the pot. Yeah, I see some of you know what I'm talking about. The smell fills the house. Not the aroma. Not the aroma. Not the aroma. Listen to me. If you are not born again, spirit filled, if that box is broken, it's a stench that will come out. It's a stench, not an aroma. not an aroma. But if you give your life to the Lord, that stench can be turned and transformed into an aroma. Please bow your heads this morning or this afternoon. Bow your head. Bow your head. Have I spoken to you this afternoon? Have I spoken to you this afternoon? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is here this morning. Are you judgmental? Are you the one that is practicing the same sin that you are condemning others for? Are you a hypocrite? Are you proud? Are you haughty? Are you the one that vaunts the goodness of God in your life? Are you the one that puts others down? Or are you broken? Are you humble? Can the aroma fill the room and change the atmosphere? The Bible says this treasure are hidden in earthen vessels. That is you and I, people. That is you and I. Why don't you lift up your hands to heaven this afternoon and say, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and this thirsting of my soul, bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill my cup, I lift it up and make me whole. I want to make a call this morning. Perhaps you are the only one here, or there's 2-3 more people here this morning, or this afternoon rather. You want to give your life to Christ. Remember, salvation is a conditional promise. If you will confess and believe with your heart, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. So that when the Lord breaks you, a sweet smelling odor, a sweet smelling fragrance may come out. You say, I want Jesus. I want to see Jesus. Anybody, just wave to me. You want this Jesus. You want this sweet fragrance, this sweet aroma. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the rest of us, why don't you pray and say, Father, break me. Jehovah, break me. Mold me and use me. In the name of Jesus. Say, Father, break me. Break me, Lord. Break me, Lord. Break me, Lord. And mold me into your own image. Mold me, Lord. Mold me, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Jehovah, I humble myself under your mighty hand this afternoon. And Lord, I ask, oh God, Jehovah, that you will mold me. Mold me, mold me, mold me. Break me, Lord. Let this treasure begin to flow out. Let this treasure begin to flow out. Let the fragrance of your glory, of your goodness in my life begin to fill the atmosphere. In your church, in my marriage, on the job, in school, in my pursuit, business pursuit. Let this aroma begin to flow out. Let this aroma begin to flow out. Let this aroma begin to flow out. Ye karadabo shantalia radabashende regede gede. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Father, break me, O Lord. Break me, break me, break me, and mold me into your image. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jehovah. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Friends, listen to me. When you pray for patience, what do you think the Lord is going to do? Just a thought. Just a thought. When you pray for patience, God is not going to take a handful of patience and throw inside of you. He's going to make situation that will make you impatient arise in your life. And then you will learn patience and you will be strong. The humility and the brokenness of Joseph was revealed when Potiphar's wife offered herself to him. He said, "How can I do this great evil against my God? Against my God. How can I do this against my God and my master who has not withheld anything from me? How can I? I truly have a strong unction in me that some people need to repent. Some people need to repent. You can stand there and repent, or you can come here. Either way you do it, say, "Lord, I'm sorry. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Have mercy on me. I confess my sin. I repent of my sin. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, O Lord. Have mercy, O Lord. Have mercy, O Lord. In any and every way that I have not represented you well, I'm sorry, Lord. Have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. You are a merciful God. You are a good God. You are a loving God. A faithful Father. Say, faithful is he who has promised." Say, "The blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sins. The blood of Jesus is able to cleanse us from all sin. In the name of Jesus. Have mercy, O Lord. Have mercy, Jehovah. Have mercy." Friends, please do not be like Simon the leper. The one that the nose is high in the air and is pointing accusing fingers at everybody else. Lord, have mercy, O Lord. Have mercy on me in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning. I give you all of the glory and all of the praise. All honor, dominion, and power be unto you. Jehovah, we thank you for the lesson of humility today. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit you will continue to expand these words in our hearts, that truly we will be humbled under your mighty hand in the name of Jesus. To lend a hand to a brother, to lend a hand to a sister in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. We bless your name. We praise your name. We magnify you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Daddy, in the name of Jesus, as we bring the service to a close, Father, we surrender all unto you. I surrender myself and this congregation. I surrender unto you. Jehovah, have your way. King of glory, let your will be done. In the mighty name of Jesus. Faithful Father, bring us to repentance at your feet in the name of Jesus. Never to go back in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. We give you praise and we give you glory. For in Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Amen. Let's share the grace together in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Surely, his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Real quick.